Yeah, thank you very much. I think what is critical is that we all know what needs to be done, but the missing element is to say what action has been done. If you look at the SADC protocol in terms of mining, since 2000, well before the talk of ESGs or well before the talk of critical minerals, they already had a protocol. But how much further have we moved in terms of integration and in terms of also complementing the regional agenda rather than looking at our local aspects? So you will find, if I might digress a bit, the biggest challenge we face is we have looked at mineral value chains in isolation to everything else. But I believe we should be talking about a nexus from energy, agriculture, the minerals being involved as well, water, so that at least it complements. Because if you have a port, it's not just going to save minerals, it's going to save other goods and other from, whether it's fishing, whether from agriculture and other dimensions as well. So one is to look at that. And our biggest undoing, if we, those who have been to the mining industry, but there's a session called African Ministers. And that session is more like a beauty contest, where they are competing or bidding against each other, that we have got these tax incentives, we have got these specialized economic zones, so you should just actually come to invest in our country. So the biggest challenge is that we have literally not unpegged what does it mean to say think globally and act locally. What it means is that when we think globally, we see the benefits from the global perspective. And then we move locally to make sure that we actually harness those benefits. But what we have done is we've taken literally to say, I will think globally, but I will act in defense of what stands in the best interest of my nation. So that one has ended up destroying in terms of any regional connection. And whether we talk about mutual recognition of agreements, on paper, it will be there. But why does it not happen? Streamlining of procedures. So you will find in the context of everyone wants to have value addition, which is a buzzword. But do we know within SADC, out of the 16 countries, only 3 countries have excess capacity of power or of in terms of energy? That is Angola, Mozambique, and Tanzania. And the worst aspect of it is that our grids do not connect, so that excess power cannot be utilized to the other neighboring countries. And then here we go, we talk about we need to actually do beneficiation. But it has to be linked, so it has to be a nexus where we actually look at how do we address all these elements from infrastructure to energy to water, and then speak to actually what is in the best interest in terms of benefit sharing. I know in the MPF assessment, there's financial benefit optimization, which looks, I mean, from the country perspective. I don't know whether there's any study that actually looks at regional, how it can be apportioned in terms of the benefits. So if you look at airlines, I'm not an economist, so forgive my example that I'm using. If you look at airlines, so we could actually learn from other industries. The airlines, you can be in a Qantas flight to Australia, but on a South African Airways ticket, on Lufthansa. So they've already managed to actually see how, in terms of apportioning, I don't know how they do the allocation, but somewhere it seems to be working. But as it stands at country level, it has always been that in terms of the competition that speaks to that. And one aspect as well, if I may, I mean, is to actually try to consider if we were to look at regional integration in the context of SADC, we have countries with excess capacity in terms of energy. So it means if we are to, if you are planning for utilities, it's always 30 to 40 years to actually get them functioning. So it will mean that those countries already having excess capacity should actually be the ones championing in terms of the smelting and the refineries aspects of it. And then the other countries which have got ports could actually look at infrastructure, transport and logistics that will support it. But as we stand in the context of Namibia, we have got what is called growth at home strategy. So this looks at what is favorable for the context of Namibia. If you go to Malawi, they also have their own strategy that speaks to their local industrialization agenda. I think what we need to do is to come to the table and actually map out in terms of how do we actually get a system to be working and which apportions the right benefits so that it's a win-win for each and every component in that ecosystem. Thank you.